Good morning, everyone. I'm going to go ahead and call the Senate Committee on Judiciary to order. This is Monday, I guess we could call this drop day, the last day for committee bills as well as individual member bills to be inputted into the system for consideration by 5 p.m. I bring that up because what our committee will be doing today is we're going to have a number of committee bills that we're going to be introducing today. I believe we have six for this morning. We will be recessing this afternoon, until this afternoon, with the understanding that if we have additional committee bills that need to be brought into the committee bill process, then we will reconvene the committee. If not, then I will come in and gavel out. We expect that to be sometime between 4 and 4:30. So with that, I think we're going to start with what we've got as possible measures for introduction. Senator Boquist.
Mr. Chair, I move we adopt LC 2896, 2897, 3242, 1953, 3390, and 3427. Am I missing?
Yes.
As committee bills.
All right, thank you. Senator Boquist has made a motion for those six LCs that he has noted as committee to be introduced as committee bills, and as a statement that we have put on the record from time to time. Just because we're introducing these as committee bills does not mean that each or any one of us support the concepts in there, but this is a means to allow bills to get in the process to be reconsidered or to be considered in the future. And at the time, if any of those bills go forward, we will make an individual decision on a individual basis, case by case, as to whether or not we want to support those measures at that time. So with that, is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. And at this point, we're going to go ahead and start with our public hearing that we have set for today, which is on Senate Bill 66. So I'll open a public hearing on SB 66. Council.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 66 allows the Department of Education to conduct criminal records check for potential employees or those contractors or volunteers who have unsupervised access to children or access to confidential information. It declares an emergency effective July 1st, 2009. There is no revenue impact, and we have it has minimal fiscal impact, no statement received. There is no amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Thank you very much. And I have two individuals that are scheduled to testify, at least have registered, Morgan Allen and Andrea Meyer. Why don't you two both come up? And while they're coming up, I just want to put on the record that Senator Dingfelder has called, stated that there's a very large traffic jam or something happening between here and Portland, and that she was running a little bit late. So, Morgan, are you going to go first?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Morgan Allen. I'm the Legislative Director for the Oregon Department of Education, here today to talk to you about Senate Bill 66, which would give the department the statutory authority to conduct criminal record checks, much like school districts and many other state agencies can. And I know I'm potentially wading into territory from past sessions. This has come up. And unfortunately, two people I was hoping to bring with me today, one is out on family business, Cindy Hunt, our legal affairs coordinator, who helped us draft the bill and worked at legislative council for a long time, and our human resources director, Deborah Lincoln, is out sick, so I'm a little bit on my own here and understanding I'm wading into an issue that has been before this committee and other judiciary committees in past sessions. So essentially all that Senate Bill 66 would do is it puts into statute the authority for our department to request a LEDS check or the FBI fingerprint background checks for agency employees, applicants for employees, our contractors, and volunteers. Currently, the department can do LEDS checks as a result of Executive Order Number 08-17, which I believe was from August of 2008. And many of our employees right now that work for the department, for example, teachers or classified employees at the Oregon School for the Blind and Oregon School for the Deaf, are already subject to fingerprinting and background checks. The language in Senate Bill 66 is permissive, and we're not mandating checks for every employee, applicant, contractor, or volunteer. For example, we don't plan on fingerprinting a parent volunteer, say, at the Oregon School for the Deaf or one of our other programs, but we might do a simple LEDS check like many of our school districts do. And as you know, and as Senator Bonamici knows, the House and Senate Education Committees have been working on a package of bills aimed at making certain that abhorrent behaviors do not occur in our schools, and there are several bills making their way through the process right now in both the House and Senate that will sort of clean up these types of things that perhaps have been overlooked in the past. And as I mentioned before, it's my understanding that many other state agencies have this type of authority in statute. Currently, we do not. So the real reason we're bringing this forward is part of those conversations that have been occurring around fingerprinting and background checks at schools. Many of our employees and vendors have unsupervised access to children and access to confidential or personal information about children. And given sort of the attention related to this issue over the past year and the attention at the House and Senate Education Committees, we believe it's prudent to give our agency the authority to conduct these kinds of background checks in statute. I would be happy to answer any questions. Unfortunately, as I said, my two cohorts who are the real experts on this are both out today for reasons unplanned, but I will do my best to answer the committee's questions. Thank you very much for your time.
All right. Thank you, Morgan. And hopefully we can be, let's say, succinct in our questions and ones that you can take, but if not, then we'll figure out where we go from there. So open it up for questions. Senator Volmici.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Morgan, can you talk about the situations where employees may have access to children? I can understand the access to confidential information, but other than at the School for the Blind and the Deaf, which you said you already can get the check, where would be a situation where your employees would have access, unsupervised access to children?
Mr. Chair and Senator Bonamici, I can get you some specific examples, but generally a lot of people at the department actually are out in the field quite a bit doing, you know, visiting schools and districts, and it's possible that they can be in situations where there may not be other adults around or other teachers around. So I could get you some specific examples, but generally speaking, we do have a lot of folks that are out in schools, out in school districts, etc., where they may not have another adult around in their sort of regular visits of schools.
Thank you.
Other questions? Senator Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I really have a question of counsel. I'm assuming, or I'm not assuming, that's probably a bad thing. I'm just wondering, this is about the sixth bill we've heard regarding the exact same thing, and I'm just wanting to confirm that the language in this bill is compatible or similar to the language in the previous four, five, or six that we've looked at, so that we're trying to set one state standard other than the little few exceptions to the bottom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Boquist. I'm familiar with Senate Bill 157, I was the counsel on that bill. I think you probably heard some other ones that I am not aware of. I know that bill doesn't have the same language as this, because that was built on older language, so they're trying to kind of retrofit. This one's more consistent with the newer bills, I believe.
Okay. Senator Wissett.
Thank you, Chair Brzezinski, for counsel also. It says here that the department already has authority to do this under the governor's executive order. So what's the emergency?
Senator Wissett, rather the proponent of the bill answer that question. Thank you.
Mr. Chair and Senator Whitsitt, I think I would answer that very generally that it looks like in sessions past, our current human resources director, our current legal affairs coordinator, Cindy Hunt, and myself, did not work at the department in, I believe, 03 and 05. This came up in past sessions, as have been dealt with before. None of us were there, and it's something that caught our attention, and we thought it would be prudent to get it in statute right now in case, you know, the executive orders can be changed, executive orders can expire, and we believe it would be prudent to get this authority in statute.
Okay.
All right, and Morgan, I had a couple of things. You talked about the bill being permissive, and when you look on line 6, it does say may require. What is going to be the framework for setting some standard as to who will or who won't be required? I assume that you're going to do this through some type of process of determining somewhat on a case-by-case basis, but at the same time, different positions are more than likely will have this type of contact with students as compared to other ones. So is there going to be some type of rulemaking, or how's this going to work to make certain there's equity and not some type of discrimination?
Mr. Chair, in my conversations with our HR folks, it's my understanding that I think we plan on doing some rulemaking around this to make it very clear, and some processes within the agency so that folks, when they apply for certain positions, would be made aware of that, that they may be subject to these types of checks. But I can get you some more specific information if you'd like.
Okay, and I've got another question regarding, if I'm not mistaken, the Department of Education does contract with teachers or somehow employed teachers that will go out in the field and teach, like it's, I'm going to use the frame or the phrase training centers. I know that there's one on the coast, central coast around Florence, where I believe the department actually provides that individual to be the teacher for the youth that are in that program. Do you know whether or not those individuals currently are being fingerprinted or not?
Mr. Chair, I'm not familiar with that specific program you're talking about, but my understanding of the law is that if you're a licensed teacher in Oregon, you've gone through the background check through the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission, so those folks are already subject.
All righty. Other questions, comments? All right. Andrea.
Chair Przanski, members of the committee, Andrea Meyer, excuse me, legislative director for the ACLU of Oregon. If it's a fingerprint bill, I guess I'd better be up at the table here talking about it briefly. I am a little surprised that the department is coming in 2009 to request this. As I think I testified before you all in 2005, there was a law with an extremely large group that I believe includes Department of Education section in here related to other aspects other than their employment, a 65-page bill that included, I thought, everyone under the sun in this. So I guess not, and I guess we're going to have this piecemeal, and that's a little distressing, but it also means that just everyone who works for the government in many, many positions is going to be subject to a criminal history background check, and we are leaving it to agencies and departments and licensing boards to take special precautions and ensure that people who may have a criminal history many years ago still are considered for the job in light of their work history and true reformation and on, but that is ultimately to the discretion of each head of each agency rather than in the statute. I wanted to indicate, especially I think it was, I can't recall if it was Senator Woodson or Senator Boquist indicated, is this similar language to what we've had? My quick review in looking at 2157 is this appears somewhat to be a boilerplate. It's been a long time since I thoroughly reviewed this previous legislation, but it does appear to be some boilerplate language. With a few exceptions, it on lines 13 to 14 says, in which person has access to confidential personal information about children, and then it has, as may be further defined by the State Board of Education by rules. I guess one doesn't really know what confidential and personal information is, so I suspect maybe it's better to define it by rules so everyone's on the same page. And I would also, as has been previously raised in the testimony and I've urged before, that this committee consider removing the emergency clause. I do think there needs to be some care taken. I believe the Department of Education, I know TSPC has a formula already in place for criminal history background checks, but they have a very different process. They are unique, where they actually have crimes that a person, no matter how long ago, can never be employed. That is something that the ACLU has opposed, and we work hard that that does not get reflected in further legislation, and it has not been. But it is a different beast than the one that the agency may be looking for here, the department, in terms of making sure by rules that they set up that nexus and that criteria and do the careful steps that need to be done. And we would ask that, especially apparently since they already have authority under an executive order, that they do the proper rulemaking with notice and opportunity for comment and not some emergency temporary rules. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions on this bill.
Any questions? Not seeing any, thank you both for coming forward. Is there anyone else who wants to give testimony today on Senate Bill 66? Not seeing anyone, we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 66. And we're going to go into our work session time, the bills that are scheduled for work session. And we'll start with Senate Bill 239. Council.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm sorry, Senate Bill 239 does not have the -4 fiscal statement yet.
So we can't move that one.
Can't move that.
So we'll close the work session on 239, and I will open one on 242, but before I do, do we seem to have the paperwork that we need?
We are ready.
All right.
On that one, yes.
So we're going to go ahead and open up a work session on Senate Bill 242, and Council, why don't you bring us up to speed
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 242 was heard on January 27th. It's one that creates a procedural mechanism for allegation and proof of defendant's previous criminal conviction for cases where the offense is elevated based on the conviction. We had testimony from Tim Sylvester from the Oregon State Bar Criminal Law Section. There was a Dash 1 amendment, which was done with the kind of a work group just to kind of clean up the language. It increased the time frame from 7 days to 35 days and clarified language to ensure consistency with current law. This is basically a codification of some Supreme Court cases on how to allege proof, the procedural mechanisms for dealing with these kind of cases. So this codifies those rulings. And there's a Dash 1 amendment. And there's revenue. There's no revenue on the Dash 1 amendment, and there's a minimal impact, fiscal impact, no statement received.
All right. So at this point, we do need to go ahead and adopt the Dash 1s?
Yeah.
So Chair would entertain a motion regarding the Dash 1s.
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 1s into Senate Bill 242.
Senator Roquist moves the Dash 1s into Senate Bill 242. Any discussion? Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had taken notes on my bill during the hearing. Has someone checked to make sure that the Dash 1 amendments address all the concerns that were raised? Because there were several.
I believe there were three different issues, and at one point I did go through and mark them, but I think there might be, hopefully, I don't know if someone's here.
Well, Senator Tim Sylvester's here, I see.
Maybe he can address any specific concerns.
Thank you for being here, and thank you for stepping forward on Monday morning.
Tim Sylvester, Assistant Attorney General. I'm appearing on this bill on behalf of the Criminal Law Section Executive Board who has proposed the bill. And the question is?
The Dash 1s, have you had an opportunity to review them to see if they conform with what the work group had proposed as modifications and changes to the bill as it was written?
Yes, I have. Chair Brzezinski, members of the committee, yes, I have. We had some concerns expressed by the Oregon Criminal Defense Lawyers Association and the Oregon Department of Judicial Department, and also from the ODAA, Oregon District Attorneys Association. And so there were three concerns, and all three of those concerns, each of those three concerns are reflected in the Dash 1. There's one for each of those concerns. If you have specific questions about any one of those, I'd be happy to answer.
No, thanks. I'm fine. Thank you.
All right. Senator Boquist.
And Mr. Chair, just for the record, I did look at it and I had written notes down here on the 7-day issue that had come up, and it's been changed to 35 days. And the third page, I see that the language has in fact been changed. The only thing that I'm not quite sure about, and I'm not a counselor, is the front page, but it looks like it was changed too, so I'll be supportive of the Dash 1.
All right. Any other comments regarding the Dash 1s for Senate Bill 242? Not seeing any. They will be any objection to them being adopted. So ordered.
No fiscal, right?
Minimal impact.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I move SB 242 to the floor with a due pass.
Senator Boquist moves Senate Bill 242.
I'm sorry, do we move the amendment?
We just did.
Okay.
Yeah. Senate Bill 242 as amended by the Dash 1s to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered, and let me check what we're doing on these.
243.
Well, we need a carrier, and
yes.
Chair will carry this one. And we'll open a work session on Senate Bill 243.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 243 was also from the Oregon State Bar Criminal Law Section. We heard it on January 27th. It applies the rule, Oregon Rules of Civil Procedure 64F to motions and arrests the judgment of criminal actions. There's no fiscal impact, no revenue impact, and no amendment. And we heard from Becky Duncan on the date of the hearing.
Mr. Chair, I move SB 243 to the floor with a due pass.
Senator Boquist moves Senate Bill 243 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. And just for the record, both on 242 and 243, Senator Dingfelder will be shown as excused based on, let's say, the traffic situations that we have between here and Portland. And we'll close that public hearing, or excuse me, that work session on 243. And we'll open our last work session for Senate Bill 371.
Need a carrier on that one.
And on that one, Senator Wissett, would you take that one?
Sure.
All right, Senator Wissett will be our carrier on 243. And our last one for today, Senate Bill 371.
And I am sorry, Mr. Chair, we have not received a revenue statement on 371 yet. So we cannot move that to
All right, so we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 371. And I believe that takes care of the work that we have today at this point. So what I'm going to be doing is, I said at the beginning of the... Is that work well?
That's good with me.
All right. So we're going to recess the Senate Judiciary until 4 p.m. this afternoon. And again, for the record, what will happen is, if we have additional bills that are proposed to be committee bills, we'll bring the full committee back at 4. If not, then the chair will come in and we'll adjourn the committee for the day. And regarding tomorrow, we have a start time of 8:30. And so we'll see everyone here either at 4 or in the morning. With that, we're in recess.